Good morning. Christ is risen. It's good to be with you this fourth Sunday of Eastertide here at Church of the Incarnation. Despite what Target says, Easter's still going on, right? So I hope you're eating a little bit more, drinking a little bit more, celebrating a little bit more than you did during Lent, particularly. Today is the Good Shepherd Sunday, and I'm glad to be able to have just a few seconds to share some thoughts with you today. So about 22 years ago, I was in an odd place. I was out of school. I had gone to school for ministry, gotten delusional, and kind of walked away. I had no real career aspirations. I just went to concerts and hung out with friends. And a relationship I was in for several years had just ended, so I moved home to my parents' house just to kind of get some direction in my life in my early 20s. And a friend of mine, he was involved with this organization called YWAM, and he had invited me and asked me, hey, you should probably go do this. It's in pretty cool places. And so I had lots of friends who suffered for Jesus in Hawaii. But I did something a little bit different. I sold my car. I got some money. I raised it from friends and family and from the church. And I made the journey to Scotland. Scotland, why? Right? That's an easy one. Because I, like every other teenage boy in the mid-90s, had seen a movie. Right? Austin Powers. Just kidding. It's Braveheart, right? The Braveheart movie. And that being said, I smeared blue ink across my face. I jumped on a plane to head to my ancestral homeland and ended up in Scotland. When I arrived, I stayed in the southwest of Scotland in a village called West Kilbride. It's about an hour outside of Glasgow, southwest. It's a rural area, lots of rolling green hills, very thick grass, dreary and overcast. It's perfect. It's an area, it's also full of pastures, and these pastures are full of sheep. And I was excited for this because it may come as a surprise to you, but I didn't grow up around sheep. That's not something I've been really good at or been around and experienced with outside of maybe like some sketchy Noah's Ark like petting zoo when I was a kid. But that was about it. But sheep are really fascinating and interesting creatures. As I saw them day after day walking through the fields, you begin to notice things. Sheep are interesting. They're very skittish. Any sudden movement and they just scatter across the field. They follow each other. So if one goes one way, the other ones will follow it, even if it's into a hole or off a cliff or wherever. They just keep going. They follow one another. They're not very smart. I mean, they're smart enough to know the voice of the shepherd, right? They know certain commands. But they're also prone to wander into trouble. They squeeze their head often through little thin slats to try to eat grass on the other side of the fence when they have tons of grass behind them, but they'll cut their necks just to get to this other grass. Some of us can relate to that. Definitely not me. But they were helpless animals as well. These are not creatures that were designed for battle in any way. They have little protection in and of themselves. They need to be protected. And lastly, they're very dirty. And if you've ever been close to some sheep in a wild environment, they look very white and fluffy from a distance. But when you get close, you see them in all their glory. Everything they've eaten or walked across or stepped on is stuck to their fur. And it's almost like dragging a sweater through the mud, literally dragging a sweater through the mud. And that's sheep, right? And I sat with these characteristics over the past couple weeks. And it's no surprise that this animal is one of the primary images that God uses for us. Not exactly an insult, but it's tracking. And it's true. At any rate, sheep and shepherds are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, more than any other animal. So in our text today, Jesus is speaking a language that they would have been very familiar with, both to an agrarian people and to the Hebrews' understanding of God and his relationship to them. Now, it's important before we dig into this text to contextualize the passage, because if we're not careful, we can end up with a very plastic version of the Good Shepherd, which is so much less than what he really, really is. With our gospel today being much more complex with deeper colors and louder sounds, and I would even say bolder implications if we have eyes to see and ears to hear what Jesus is saying. So as our reading starts today, we're walking into a situation already in progress. In chapter 9 of John, he's just told us something that Jesus got in trouble. He did something bad. He healed this man on a Sabbath day when he wasn't allowed to do that. He broke the Sabbath. And after he heals this man, the Pharisees, acting as God's shepherds of his people, They interrogate and they eventually kick this man out of the synagogue because he believes in Jesus. An interesting thing about this passage is this juxtaposition about blindness. You've got the blind man, right, who can't see at all, who is given his sight. And on the other side, you have the Pharisees who can see perfectly well and are completely blind. And Jesus jumps on this, and his closing in this passage is savage. He says this, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." So they respond by asking him, "Surely not us. You're not saying that we're blind," even though they're expecting him to say, "Yes, you are blind," but he doesn't. What he says is this, it's even worse. He says, "If you really were blind, you would be unable to see what I just did, and you'd be innocent." The problem here is not that they're blind, it's that they see. This isn't just simply an inability to see the truth. This is a stubborn refusal to accept the truth. It's a very different thing. It's a truth that they can see in the eyes that are glowing of this man that was once blind that now can see and is removed from community at the church. It's in this moment, under these circumstances, in which John positions this story today, sets the stage for a discussion around the type of leaders that they had versus the type of leader that the Lord was and is. And this has been a long-running narrative. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophet lets us know that God's not very happy with his shepherds. And he gives us a few reasons why. He says, the shepherds, they use the sheep, they abuse the sheep. They eat the fat, they use their wool for clothing, they kill them, but they don't feed them. They've been careless. They haven't strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the wounded or sought after the sheep that are lost. The sheep are scattered and God's upset. No one's looking for them. So God responds through the prophet Ezekiel. And I'm going to read Eugene Peterson's take on this text, which I love. He says, "Watch out. I'm coming down from for the shepherds, and I'm taking my sheep back. They're fired as shepherds of my sheep. No more shepherds who feed themselves. I'll rescue my sheep from their greed. They're not going to feed off of my sheep any longer." Those are awesome words. What God's saying here is that he has had enough, because the leaders that he put in place have failed to lead, and now he was going to come and make things right. He says, "I myself will search for them. I will rescue them. I will feed them and bandage them. I will give them rest." And in contrast, when he comes, he would be a good shepherd. In our text today, Jesus steps into this image, bringing into fulfillment everything that the prophet had just said. In Ezekiel, where God says, "I will, I will, I will." In John, he says, "I am, I am, I am." The Good Shepherd talk is all about contrasting Jesus and the Father up against the religious leaders, the bad shepherds. So who were the Pharisees and why were they bad shepherds? Because the Pharisees used their authority to threaten and to alienate God's people, even banning them from the synagogue when they disagreed with them. These weren't the real leaders or the shepherds that they claimed to be. They were all about themselves. In fact, they don't even speak for God at all. They speak for their traditions and maybe some misguided power, but Jesus does. To prove this, Jesus pulls out a brush and he begins to paint us this motif of the good shepherd that we read today. And I quickly want to highlight just a few things that stood out for me in this text. First off, the good shepherd knows his sheep and they know him. I love how this is unpacked in Psalm 23. We read just a moment ago, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I lack nothing with the shepherd. Can you say that with integrity? Do you find everything in the shepherd? I can't, but I want to. It's hard, though, sometimes. It's hard to let go of the wheel and to trust that this journey will end up in the right place. It takes a bit of humility. St. Augustine, in speaking of Jesus, refers to him as the low gateway to the sheep pen. He says this, keep hold of this, that Christ's sheepfold is the Catholic Church, the universal church. Whoever would enter the sheepfold, let him enter by the door. Let him teach the true Christ. Not only let him preach the true Christ, but seek Christ's glory, not for his own. For many seeking their own glory have scattered Christ's sheep instead of gathering them. How many times have we seen this? For Christ the Lord is a low gateway. He who enters by this gateway must humble himself so that he does not bump his head. I've definitely bumped my head a few times. But church, humility is the only way in and out of the gate. A humility that recognizes that we're lost and believes that Jesus is the way to safety and pasture. And this is what's on offer us today with the Good Shepherd. He's asking us to listen to his voice and to follow where he leads, even up to and through the valley of the shadow of death. We have the promise that no matter what happens, the Lord is with us with rod and staff in hand. Second, if you want to learn to follow the shepherd's voice, you have to spend time with the shepherd. I have a dog. It's an Italian greyhound mix. We think it's mixed with Chihuahua. I don't even want to think about that. But Leo is not the smartest of pets. He barks at every animal on the TV all day long, even cartoon animals. He fakes getting hurt when any bigger dog gets by. He drops to the ground like a footballer. It's over. But Leo, despite his intelligence, he also knows the sound of my car when it drives down the road. And he comes to the door. His eyes light up every time I say words like treat or bone. He knows what those things mean. He knows this because he's with us. He's around us day after day. And consistency builds trust. In turn, we need to do the same. We learn about the shepherd and we spend time with the shepherd in all kinds of different ways. When we gather here together on Sundays or for holy days, when we share the Eucharist together at this table, in our prayers and devotions, in the quiet spaces away from TikTok and Instagram stories, just being still and knowing. All of these create an environment in which we're able to decipher the voice of the shepherd over other voices in our head. So the ultimate question for you and I today is, what voices are you listening to? If we followed voices that have led us away from family, from connections with others, voices that tell us that we're not good enough or we're too far gone to be found again, we're asked to slow down and to listen for the shepherd because there's grace. And that brings me to our last point, that when we get lost, we need to call out to the good shepherd. What type of sheep am I? I'm a sheep that loves to wander. I've been that way my whole life. That's why the hymn, when we sing it, cuts to my heart every week. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. The thing about wandering is that we never intend, when we start to wander, to end up somewhere bad. It's just little choices here and there that begin to change our trajectory. Like Kevin McAllister, we stop to look for something for just a moment and then we're gone, lost. Home alone. Throw that in there, just in case you didn't know. I know what this feels like. I know this lonely place. I've felt it my whole life. And before too long, I've ended up lost or trapped or alone or helpless, a sheep caught in thicket. The thing about the shepherd, though, is that he's not a hired hand. He's not going to run from you, but he's going to come close to you. He's not afraid of the enemies in your life. He lays down his life for his sheep. And it's in those moments, more than any others, when we hear the shepherd's voice and when we call out to him, that he comes to me and to you to rescue, to restore, to heal. He is the good shepherd, and he will not abandon his sheep. Our place in this is to recognize that when we followed other voices and to let go and to allow the good shepherd to lift us out of the mud, the weeds, and the thicket and bring you back to a pen where there's shelter and safety. As I close, I'm going to read one more time the collect, which I think is so good today. If you want to, I think it should be up on the screen, if you want to read it with me. O God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the good shepherd of your people. Grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls each by name and follow where he leads. With you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Church, this week I pray that you would listen to the voice of the shepherd up over and against all other voices, and that you would follow where he leads you. Come and find rest. Amen.